home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Live from Hollywood, it's Rated LGBT Radio with your hosts, Garrett Miller and Rob Watson.
Good evening. Welcome to Rated LGBT Radio. I am Rob Watson and
Garrett Miller.
Yay.
Oh my God! So glad to have you.
Never think you'd hear again. Oh my God!
I know. Although you kind of blew my cover in the promo tonight, because I don't think I've told you this, but I've never told anybody that you were gone. All the guests I've had on, I have my list here of 10 things that Garrett is doing right now and why you can't hear him, but he's here. So, you know, here are the 10 things that I told them you were doing. One is obviously.
Okay, what are my 10 things?
Okay, I said, hold on, Garrett's in the restroom. Then number two, hold on, Garrett's out walking the dogs.
There we go.
Number three, hold on, Garrett's out getting coffee. Number four, hold on, Garrett's out performing CPR. Number five, Garrett is here, actually. He's just talking really quietly tonight. Number four, well, okay, here's the deal. I'm actually Garrett, but I decided only to do one voice tonight. So that was number six. Number seven, Garrett's here. He's gotten very, very spiritual, and tonight he's taken a vow of silence. Number eight, Garrett got pissed at me right before the show, and he's just sitting here glaring at me right now. Number nine, this is my favorite. This is when I decide to make the guests think they're crazy. Like, you are here and you're asking questions, and I keep going, is there a problem? Why aren't you answering Garrett's questions? He's getting very frustrated. And number 10, ICE picked him up because he didn't have his visa on him.
That's true.
There you go.
That is very, very true. All of those 10, just depending upon the week, are very, very true.
So, yeah. So I just said, you know, long walk to coffee. So, no,
it's been a long walk to coffee. Oh my God. So how you been?
Oh, good. The craziness. I mean, I was thinking before we started about all the things that have happened since we last talked, and it's like the whole world, I think, has changed since.
I think so. What's been going on since we've last talked? Catch me up.
I don't know. Have we talked since the election?
I don't know. Probably. I don't think so. Honestly, I don't think we have.
Yeah,
it's been that long, folks.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, you know, been busy. So how are you surviving in the land of Trump?
Well, okay. So for everybody who doesn't know, the year before that, I had a lot of free time on my hands, shall we say. And Rob and I were doing the show every Thursday night, and life was fantastic. And then I completely ran out of money, and I was broke and near homelessness and all of this kind of stuff. And I could paint a really horrible picture, but, you know, life is great. And I got this job, and the job has me typically working on Thursday nights, and I usually close my department at 10 p.m. So I totally missed the show. I miss everything. And I pretty much worked, 48 hours a week, every single week, 6 days a week for the last 6 months in a row. And so I have not had a lot of time to really pay attention to the news, current events, and all of that. That sounds really, really like a lame excuse. So I've been seeing all of the interesting Facebook memes and posts. And I have some commentary that probably is not going to be very popular later if we go down the political road, but I've just kind of been at a even farther than an arm's length on a lot of the issues that are out there, just because I'm not as informed as I would like to before making any kind of, you know, hopefully educated statement. So I've just kind of been watching all the craziness on the sidelines.
You know what? That's probably a good thing, because it has been so frantic and so frenzied pretty much since day one of the election.
Yeah.
It's exhausting. I mean, I've only written one article in, the recent past since he was elected, just because every time I sat down to write, things move so fast that the thing I was writing on, by the time I got it to a point where I thought I had something to say, it was already way old news. Way old.
Yeah. And that, I think, has been the thing that has been so shocking to me, is that as fast as we thought life was before the election, post-election, everything is just sped up so much faster that, you know, whether you like things or you don't like things, and that's, 7,000 hours of radio, we could talk about, all kinds of things. It just seems like the speed of which things transpire and blow up and then blow over and the next thing comes up and the next, storm front hits is so fast and so furious. It is exhausting. And I think that's also one reason why I really haven't minded, taking that armchair quarterback position and not trying to be the forefront of, I've got to go out there and make all these statements.
Yeah, no. And like I said, I've been in it, but honestly, I've been tweeting more than anything because Twitter seems to be the vehicle that at least keeps pace. Because, things happen, you tweet out, you make a few pithy comments, and a bunch of people jump on, and off it goes.
Right.
And then you're sitting in a position to make pithy comments about the next issue, and off you go. And I just hit a milestone, by the way. I now have 20,000 followers on Twitter.
So holy crap.
I know. That's
awesome.
That's a
great thing. Well, but you tend to write articles that are interesting, compelling, dramatic and emotional. And, anybody who reads your stuff though, Rob, is going to be, entertained. And I think that's something that a lot of writers wish they had the ability to do nowadays, and sadly, they don't.
I know. Well, speaking of which, now you have a book that's about to come out, right?
I do. It's been crazy.
Well, I'm looking for inspiration because I want you to tell me about the book in just a second, but I don't remember if I told you this or not, but I am, knock on wood, I'm working on two books right now. Those have been my to-do projects.
You're such a slacker, Rob. You're only working on two.
I have been slacking. I've outlined them, and the outlines have just sat there. So, So I'm sort of sharing this with a nudge to myself to get back on it. But enough about me. Tell me about your book. What's going on?
So everybody knows I've been shilling my album Blonde Jesus for the last year and a half now, and the response to that has been really great. I've won a bunch of awards. I've won a pop album award. I've won a music single or music video award. I've won the IMEA Pop Artist of the Year award. I've won the Hottest New Artist award from that network for 2017. Blah 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 blah. Okay, so in all of this, I'm going like, maybe I have like a brand in this Blonde Jesus thing. Because either people hate it or they love it. Because, if they love it, it's the tongue-in-cheek and they get it. If they hate it, it's because it's just like all of the things that we see on the news today. We're so rash to make a judgment before we even read the article. So, you sound and act like a complete moron before you actually find out.
Yeah, reading articles is so yesterday. Right, got it, yeah.
Yeah, so yesterday. I can barely read 140 characters. Sometimes I can only read a partial headline. And I'm going to make an informed statement after reading a partial headline and not even reading facts. So anyway, so I sat down about a year ago to write this book. And I'll preface this by I found my original notes from May of 2013. I was in New York City, and I basically sat down and said, I guess I'm going to start writing a book today. Well, after about a year of writing in that, and I'll probably go back and just see what my thought process was at the time. I realized that was not the book that I wanted to write. And so I have this huge, I've got three notebooks full of things that I just thought are really fantastic. They might be for something else, but it's not the first book that I want to put out. So I have this neighbor. He's also been on the show, Jeff Michaels, and he's a metaphysical author. He's a young adult fantasy author, and he's done very well. He gave me a book on Christmas Eve, 2015. And, you know, or New Year's Eve, excuse me. So what's the best topic I could read about on New Year's Eve on, you know, in 2015? It was a book on death and dying. And actually, it was, it sounds terrible, but it was, you know, from a metaphysical standpoint,
book,
it was something
that. Christmas book, right.
Yeah, but it was very good. But in reading his book and his, Jeff's other books, I just said, oh, this is the type of book that I want to write. I want to write books with short chapters or, you know, like, you know, stories right. contained in a chapter. It doesn't have to be like an ongoing story. It could be like, you know, I've said what I had to say. Boom. That's I'm done with that. It's not like and then on the next page, it continues. It's like, nope, that chapter is done. So I said, that's what I'm going to do. So I sat down and outlined three books that I plan to write, 10 chapters each. And in each of the books, I'm going to write what are called blonde Jesus-isms. Because what's more offensive than, you know, blonde Jesus? Well, blonde Jesus-isms, because now blonde Jesus is going to speak. So blonde Jesus, that's me, has come up with 10 stories. And each story has an ism to it. And it's, you know, a lot of, there's a lot of humor based writing. There's a lot of emotional writing. There's a lot of heartache and things like that. But each chapter has a fortuitous fable. And that is a story that I think it resonates, or at least I hope will resonate with a common, you know, everyday person. And then there's the palpable parable. That's my true to life story that I actually tell you a true story that's happened to me. And at the end of the chapter, from the fortuitous fable part one, and then the palpable parable, I give you the blonde Jesusism. And I'll give you a real quick idea. So like in chapter one, the blonde Jesusism of chapter one is blonde Jesus says, don't be a dick. And the moral of the story is that people like to work with people who are easy to work with, and they don't like to work with people who are dicks.
Right.
And so I, you know, explain, you know, and I tell the story about of a particular person who actually wanted to be on the Rated G radio show and why they never made it to the show. So
I'm guessing
one.
They
and
were.
I have other. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were dicks, so they didn't get on the show. So anyway, so that's chapter one. And then I tell, you know, 10 other chapters of stories. And at the end of it, you know, and I tell a lot of personal information that I probably have not shared elsewhere. I mean, if you're a very close and personal and dear friend, there's probably information that you don't even know that, you know, happened in there that I'm going to be sharing for the first time. But there's stories that I want to tell. It is not, and I will tell you that I, you know, I had an editor go through it. And, you know, they made suggestions. And at the end of the day, I just said, you know, I know how I write. I appreciate the feedback that you gave me. But the tone of the writing is how I speak. So when you read the book, I want you, if you have heard me speak, I mean, I want you to hear me speak as you're reading the book.
Right.
Not as you're just like reading this book or whatever. So if you have no idea who I am and you read the book, you're probably like, okay, yeah, that was fine. But hopefully if you know me or have heard my voice and you're reading the book, you will pee your pants because you're laughing so hard, or you may cry, or you may get excited or upset or whatever, because you're reading it and hearing how I would actually speak it. So that's the goal. And at the end of the day, the stories are mine. I'm happy with every single word that's in the book, and I take full responsibility for the joy and, the happiness that I'm going to bring to your life for this. But more importantly, I'm thrilled because the book is going to be in major retailers, you know, like brick and mortar around the country starting sometime in April. And I will tell you, Rob, I had the book done this last fall, and I'm going to kind of throw my publisher under the bus. I've been waiting for the effing publisher to just push the buttons that they need to push.
Right.
To get things done. And, you know, because we're almost into April, I've been waiting since before Christmas for them to get my cover done. And, you know, I, here's me bitching, but, you know, here I'm on the soapbox and I've had a cup of coffee, so I can't stop. So I sent them a draft. I said, here is exactly what the cover will look like, and do this. You can make it look better, but you will make it look like this.
Right.
don't get cute because I'm paying for this. So, you know, I don't have time for somebody else to get cute. So what did they do, Rob?
They changed it.
They got cute. So,
they got cute. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Even
so
worse.
They
changed it.
Because I showed them, it had the picture. It had, you know, I mean the whole thing. So long and short of it was they sent me the draft for the cover, and they're very excited for me to do, you know, take a review and to say approved. So on the cover, it didn't even have my name on it.
Oh, God.
I'm the brand. Oh, geez. Yeah. And then on the spine of the book, it was just G. Miller. And that, you know, and so they said, what do you think? Do you like it? And I'm like, okay, I'm going to give you 10 things that are wrong with the cover. Let's get those first 10 things corrected, and then we'll go from there. So they got those 10 things corrected, and then we had to start with the spelling corrections that we needed, you know, because I'm just like, if you just copied and pasted it, we wouldn't have had this problem. So anyway, long story short, finally signed off on the cover this past Sunday, and the publisher sent me a note on Monday night and said I should be able to have a preview copy in my hands next week, and then it's just a matter of, you know, making sure that it's all okay. So very excited about that. It'll be out in April sometime. I'll be doing a book tour of some proportion, and hopefully it can, you know, it'll be a combo with, you know, CD and, you know, whatever other, you know, maybe I'll have like t-shirts or, you know, strands of hair or something like that I can sell as well.
That is very cool. By the way, while I was rapt listening, got a Twitter from one of our listeners who is listening right now in Ireland. Hi, Laurie. And Garrett, what is the number for people who want to call in?
It's just 323-657-1493. I don't have Skype capabilities for folks to call in. You have to actually call in on a regular number. And it's 323-657-1493. We are live for the next hour. So if you're, you know, in Ireland, in the UK, thank you very much for listening. The time there is 3:20 in the morning.
You.
Thank you for being up at this, you know, this hour of the day. But we'd love for you to call in and chat. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. 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 So no, that's fantastic. I can't wait to read the book because, you know, of all the people on the planet, the one who can sit there and read the book and hear your voice is moi. So, you know, I'll hear you reading it to me and I can't wait. I'm very excited.
I'm excited for it too. And it's not that, you know, I know everybody today can write a book and everybody can go be self-published and everybody can, you know, good for you. Do it. I'm fully in support of all creative projects. I think you should absolutely do it. I think the one thing that about this for me that I think is different is that I'm not out there trying to tell, you know, some great novel or this great story about whatever. Because that actually takes skill and talent. And it's not what
well,
I do. Does not take
that's,
skill
that's
talent.
One of the ones I'm working on, actually, to tell you this.
Okay.
I'm working on one of those. The two I'm working
skill
on.
And
one
talent, I am in such awe of people who can do that. Because I belong to writer groups. And for a newbie, you know, I don't know how people in this day and age would sit down and start writing character development. I've gone to the workshops. I've gone to the conferences where they say, well, you know, we're going to storyboard it or I map it all out and da-da-da-da. I don't have the patience for any of that. All I can do is say, I'm going to tell my story. And when I'm done telling this particular story, I am done. And then I'm,
right.
it's like cathartic for me. And I'm happy. I don't have to
I have to tell you, this character
gets along with that.
Yeah. The thing that happened was, and I'm going to have to set this up a little bit. By the way, I have a new co-host on out in Santa Cruz, Bash De Leon.
Yeah, you guys are great.
Great. He's fun. He's one of the premier stylists in town here. But he and I are very, very good friends. And he just brings a really cool perspective to things. We've had a really great time on the show. But he is the owner of one of the real premier salons in Santa Cruz. And one of his business associates, they do these art events. And one of his business associates is also an artist. And I came in and I didn't even know it was his art, but he had these drawings up for this show that they were doing. And I just was so fascinated with them. They were kind of dark, but whimsical, but creepy, but fanciful. I mean, just sort of all these elements in them. And I talked to him and I said, Scott, have you ever considered doing illustrations for like a book? And he said, oh, I'd love to do that. But, you know, I don't know anybody who's a writer. And I said, well, I'm a writer. And, oh, I don't know anybody who's a drawer, who's an illustrator. And, you know, we could do this. And so I went away, and based on just elements of his work that I saw there, outpoured this 5-page treatment of a book. And I took it to him and said, you know, I wrote this up, you know, just for giggles. Tell me what you think. See if, you know, there's something there. He read it. He loved it. It started ideas in his head of illustrations he wants to do for it. And so we're like off and running on this kind of fanciful.
Right on.
Yeah. It's, I love the story that's coming out, and, it's really intriguing, and it's very much me being inspired through his art, and then he is going to create more art inspired from my writing. So it'll be like this really intricate birthing process between two creative forces. And so I'm very excited just to participate in it, you know. So that's one of the things.
Well, hurry up and get it done, and then we can go on a tour together.
Oh, that'd be fun. Oh my God, that would be so great. The other one I'm doing is I'm pulling together a retrospective of my writing, but also telling my personal story through all the marriage equality years and, you know, everything that was going on, tying into elements of things that I wrote about during that time period. And
that is a really cool idea.
No, it's just kind of, I poured out the outline on that one, and, you know, it sort of looked down and it's like, wow, there it is. You know, it's like, I can do that. And it's funny, cause you were talking about being inspired by, you know, picking up a book and being inspired by somebody's style and everything else. And I picked up Carrie Fisher's last book before she passed away, and very much she speaks to me as a writer, not just as the themes of her book, but how she expresses herself. As I, you know, I don't want to say I'm another Carrie Fisher, but I just relate to how she expresses herself, and, you know, how that book was laid out and kind of the freeform thought of it. It was like, this is me. I can do this. I can do, you know, this kind of thing. So there's that part too. There's one other thing I wanted to share with you that has happened since we last talked that I thought was kind of intriguing. It kind of ties into this thing of the retrospective of writing during the marriage equality time period and all that. I don't know if you got a chance to catch the miniseries, We Rise Up, the Dustin Black.
I don't have television.
Oh, okay.
I don't have television.
Yeah, I know. You know, I don't have really traditional TV either. And so when these things come out, it is hard in heck for me to try to scramble to find them because I've got all these other sources or programming, and none of them are traditional. But anyway, I digress. So the story was, it was on Cleve Jones, and it was kind of the history, gay history, from the 70s through Harvey Milk to the AIDS crisis, and kind of at the end, the last piece of it was marriage equality. And he was very involved in the Prop 8 going to the Supreme Court. And, you know, and I was watching it. It was really interesting. Dash and I talked about this on Out in Santa Cruz, and I was saying, you know, it's weird because, you know, as a gay person, you're so involved in all those things. And I was involved in every part of that history, but it was like watching a piece about something that you were intimately involved with of what was happening in the other room. You know, it was like, it was such an odd feeling. I don't know if that is an accurate description, but that's what it felt like. Anyway, at one point they're going to the Supreme Court. You know, he's in tied with the people who have the case. Everybody's nervous. They don't know how it's going to go. The justices are questioning, and there's this pivotal moment in the Supreme Court where Justice Kennedy, who is well known to be the potential swing vote on this, asked a question, And it was depicted in the show there that he asked a question about what about the kids of gay parents in California, and don't they deserve the right to have their parents legally married? And when he asked that question, the characters in this movie thought about it on the bus, and they were going, I can't believe a justice from the Supreme Court asked that question. And it was sort of like the signal that it was going to go our way in the movie.
Yeah.
So that's what was depicted in the movie. So jumping out in real life, something happened 2 months before the Supreme Court case. And that was that an article appeared in the Huffington Post, LGBTQ Nation. It went viral. It had headlines in both papers. And it was an article where a gay family invited Anthony Kennedy to come to dinner so he could meet the kids and ask the question, is it fair for, these kids in this family not to have protection, of marriage for their kids? And guess who wrote that article?
That would be you, Mr. Rob Watson.
That would be me. So I'm sitting there watching this show and going, wow, I could have potentially had a huge historical effect on what happened with marriage equality.
Well, you're a mover and a shaker.
Well, it was just one of those moments of going, I'm really glad I was given the opportunity to have a voice because somebody sounds like they heard it. So
there we go. In spirit of that, would you be do you want to dance for like a couple of minutes? I'm going to play a certain song that might be seasonally back at number one here in California.
Absolutely. Go for it.
Here we go. Everybody, it's Gay Wedding. If you like Billy Idol and you like, getting gay married, this is my song. It's number one in California, numberonemusic.com.
Second to no one. Mister, our time has come. Hey, Mister, marry your true love. Hey, Mister, hot bun. If I not say to start again, if I not say for a gay wedding, if I not say to start again. Hey, sister, now you have the right. Hey, sister, she can be your wife. Hey, sister, true love. Hey, sister, go on, take her hand. Hey, sister, true love. It's a not day to start again. It's a not day for a gay wedding. It's a not day to start again. Yeah. so strong. No matter the state that you're from, it's a nice day to start again. Come on, it's a nice day for a gay wedding. It's a nice day to start again. Our hearts are bright with this love. Hearts are light with this love, and you crave at night for this love, and you give your all for this love, and you know you're good with this love.
Everybody, that's Gay Wedding. Currently number one on numberonemusic.com in California for another week. So very cool. I guess it's because, you know, that song kind of went away and then all of a sudden it just came back up and I don't know what happened, but it's doing really well on numberonemusic.com again. So
well,
thanks everybody for listening to that.
There's one place where it should come up again, like really
Ireland,
soon. Northern Ireland. We got a question over Twitter.
Yeah.
And by the way, if people do want to follow us on Twitter, my handle is at JNJDad. And Garrett is very apropos. It's at Garrett's Hot. And so you can tweet us during the show and we might, well, I know I will see it. So if you tweet me, we can get your questions on. But we got a question from, and I hope I get your name right, Lowry. Lowry McAllister from Ireland, and I'm assuming from Northern Ireland. And Northern Ireland is the only place in the UK where same-sex marriage is not yet legal. Now, they had a
vote. How is that even possible?
Yeah, and I don't pretend to understand exactly how the Northern Ireland government works, but the ruling body at the time had a veto power that they vetoed the idea of same-sex marriage. They had an election not too long ago that I thought was going to overturn that, but and I don't know what the holdup is, but you know, come on, Northern Ireland, get with the program. It is unconscionable.
Who cares nowadays? I just don't get it. I mean, I honestly, I don't really care who you marry, Rob. I don't care who anybody marries. Just be happy, you know, and then go on about your life, because happier people make better citizens, blah, 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 blah. And who you marry is none of my business.
No. Yeah. But it's the thing, though, I feel bad for people whose homes are in Northern Ireland. I mean, it does stop not your progress in your life, but you know, the thing that was said, and I've, you know, you and I are ordained to conduct weddings. And as we've shared before, you don't do it cause you'll giggle through it, which is fair warning to any couple that wants you, you know, it's like I've done, several. And one of the quotes that I like to use in the marriage ceremony I use is from the ruling that happened in Massachusetts. And the thing I love about this quote is it says that marriage is, you know, who you marry and whether you marry is, you know, you may not choose to ever marry nor want that. But those decisions, those two decisions are two of the most significant ones you will ever make in your whole life. And when you make them, you will have chosen this path in your life. And there are people in Northern Ireland who do not get that option yet. And that's just categorically unfair and unjust, and they need to get with it and allow people to get on with their lives.
Yeah.
So
totally.
Larry, that's
I agree.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the tweet.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, I hope you get some sleep, or you're either getting up to start your day, or you're going to bed and getting lots of sleep. One of them, either way, it's exhausting to be up at 3:35 in the morning.
Yeah. And if you do go to sleep, you can click on the link and we'll still be here for you because we're recording this. So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And you can, you know, listen to it again and again and again, because it's not only available on this link that you're listening to now, it's also available on iTunes as a podcast available for your download. They have 300 of the most recent episodes of Rated G Radio, which includes our LGBT show on Thursday nights. And you can go and download all or some of them and listen to them on your Apple device and, you know, rewind them. If you're going on a road trip or on an airplane or something like that, and you want something entertaining to listen to, this show is the best one to download.
Absolutely.
Just saying.
We're fun. We're fun. Yeah.
So what else is going on, Rob?
So, and Larry tweeted, thanks. So we answered his question. What else is going on? Well, speaking of Apple devices, I have come over to, in Android world, it was the dark side. For Apple world, I've come to the light. I am now an iPhone person. So, bum, ba, bum.
Oh, good. So I can iMessage you, because you know I hate texting.
Oh, you can't? Okay. I'm just Bash, my co-host on Out in Santa Cruz, has been teasing me unmercifully as I try to figure my way through iPhone world. I have to say, though, I've been a long time iTunes user because I've been married to my iPod and all that. And
oh, yeah.
It was quite a joy to get on and then have so much of my media all of a sudden integrating right in front of my eyes. That was really cool. So I'm getting it.
Well, I mean, but you know, I don't even have a phone. I don't have a cell phone. Everybody out there in Radio Land, you can fall over dead right now, but I don't have a cell phone. So I have my computer, and so I message off of my computer, and everybody thinks, well, you've got yourself. No, I've got my computer. The budget didn't allow for the cell phone any longer, so the cell phone's gone. And you know what? I will tell you, I don't miss it at all. And everybody thinks I'm completely nuts, but it's for me, it was actually very freeing to get rid of my cell phone and my $8 million a month bill for the cell phone and all that kind of stuff. I realized something, Rob. I am, you know, for everybody out there that has kids or you need to stay in contact, all of that, you get it. That's for you. I support you. It's all great. But guess what? I don't cure cancer. I don't need to be somebody that needs to be like an emergency number to be called. You know, you should call 911 if you're having an emergency. I hate talking on the phone. I absolutely hate it with a passion. I will do it if I have to, but if I'm going to talk, I'd rather do a radio show with Rob on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. on Reddit LGBT.
I was going to say, we have had some offline good phone conversations, but the majority of our relationship has been right smack in the middle of public, you know, on the air.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a cool thing.
Wow.
But we did meet in person today.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was real.
It is. So Rob really is a real person. I can attest to that.
And so is Garrett. My excuse is notwithstanding.
Sometimes I'm a real person.
Not here.
Yeah. But other times I'm a character. I don't know. But I'm so pleased that you're on an device that I can iMessage you, because I will sit there and text for my computer, because, you know, I can go, because I'm a production typist. I can type 90 words a minute accurately if I had to. And I can actually send you messages and stuff like that. Just like Facebook Messenger. I'll do Facebook Messenger with folks. But, you know, don't ever ask me to call you on the phone, because to me, that it gives me PTSD. You think I'm joking, but it really doesn't. It's horrible. Oh,
no, I totally believe it. Oops. No. That wasn't a good idea. Sorry. I saw a light that wasn't lit up, and I'm not sure why. And I accidentally pushed a button, so electronics are going bonkos around me.
Well, don't do that anymore.
I know. It's like, do not push buttons during radio shows. Not a good idea.
Yeah.
That's so wild. So, oh my God, so many things I want to ask you about. So tell me about the film that you just got through doing.
I say which one? There's a film that I did last year.
Oh, God. Hold on. Let me hit my head on the desk.
Okay. Boom, boom. Okay. Yeah. But it's not like I starred in these films. I was given, like, you know, bit parts or background roles and stuff like that. So I think the one that you're referring to, my dear friend Bruce Hart, he has been in lots of TV shows and web series and movies and things like that. He did an indie film called Open, about having an open relationship. And I got to play the bartender in the anniversary party scene. And apparently I have not seen the finished product yet, but I've had people email me and text me and go like, oh my God, your facial expressions had me peeing my pants. So I guess that is a good thing. And then I also made the blooper reel at the end of the movie. And I think I don't know what it is, but I can guess, because there was a couple of scenes that, you know, they had me bartending and I like kind of drop stuff, right? And they're like, what the fuck are you doing? You can't be dropped. You know, we're actually filming here. Stop screwing up. So I'm going to guess it's that, but I had a total blast. But the film Open has been premiered in LA. It's been premiered in Long Beach. It's been shown in Texas. It's been shown, I think, in DC and Pennsylvania. And Bruce just posted on Facebook right before the show went live that the film is now going to open at another film festival in Warsaw, Poland next month. And I think that just has Bruce a little on cloud nine, as it should. And I said, do you want to call into the show? And he goes, I'm in what? Well, I don't think he's going to be listening to tonight's episode, because I'm in Washington, D.C., and I'm drunk. I said, well, you can still call in, because that could be fun. And he goes, oh, I better not. So, Bruce, if you are listening, I'm sorry to say that, you know, you shared that with me. But he wanted to make sure that he's going to, you know, paint the picture in the best light and all that kind of stuff. So, Bruce, thank you very much for the opportunity. Everything that Bruce does is always so first class. And if I get a chance to work with him or his brother Paul again, boy, I'd do it in a heartbeat, because it was so much fun.
Yeah. You know what I really want to do? And I wrote a play. It was a play festival up here that I submitted it amongst, you know, hundreds and hundreds of other people. And I didn't get in, but it the main character in it is a bartender. And I would kill to see you do that part. And see you do that play or film it.
Well, I would rather do it as a movie. A play is, you know, that actually requires me to be on it and in character and not, you know, screw it up.
Well, I mean, it totally could be filmed. I mean, it totally could be done that way.
Okay, do a short film.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like you would be so great as that character. And I mean, you've read it. You are actually the one and only person on the planet who's read it. So, yeah. So, you know, but
right on. Well, you have to make this happen, Rob. So that's all, you know, cause I will tell you, it's funny. I do all of my, and it's not by design, but I do all of my acting gigs in the first half of the year. In the second half of the year, I don't know. I have like mental breakdowns or something like that. But I did a commercial a couple of months ago for Audi and got to go up to Palmdale, California. And, you know, again, you see me for like a whopping like 2 seconds in the commercial. But totally fun to do. And it's for a launch of one of their new sports cars. And I've got another TV series that I'm getting ready to do as soon as the funding comes through, but they've been working on it for a while, so I'm not holding my breath. And I don't know, a couple of other projects, but you know, all fun stuff to do. And I would love to be, you know, in your project also. So let's make that happen.
Yeah, no, I think that would be really, really cool. Should that something like that happen, that would be beyond cool. I would be flipping out with ecstasy on that happening. Ecstasy, the emotion, not the drug. But yeah, no, very cool.
Yeah, because I don't think anybody's taken ecstasy since the like 90s. So, you know, don't have to worry about that.
Okay, I'm going to share this. And I just celebrated 35 years of continuous clean and soberness. Yeah, it was 5 when I
got congratulations. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, but you know, it's a big milestone for you. You've shared your story with me.
Yeah, Ben, but it's funny because in that time period, they've created all sorts of crap that I have no idea what it is. So, you know,
I think that, you know, your milestone really is, it's so admirable, and we can sit here and have a mutual admiration society, but I mean, you are such an excellent role model for, you know, doing it right and clean living. And I'm always, you know, looking to you as inspiration and role model. And I thank you for doing what you do.
Well, I have to, here's another thing that I have to thank you for, because your inspiration, you put out a lot of like healthy eating, healthy recipes, you know, and a lot of different feedback online for people to take a look at and get inspired on. So I am pretty much 10 weeks in to eating just vegetables and protein and working out every day. And I've gained 4 pounds, but it's 4 muscle pounds. And I'm in great shape. And, you know, you're kind of a big part of the inspiration for that. So there you go.
Well, right on. Well, I'm proud of you. So do you feel better? Do you sleep better? How is everything like that?
Yes. I feel great. I run into ageism all the time because I don't feel close to my age, which will not be divulged right now.
You're 29. That's fine.
29. Yeah. Okay. There. Yeah. Oh, you let it out. Given what I just shared, that would mean I got sober, like 6 years before I was born.
6 years before.
Yeah. Hard to keep all the fronts up here. So anyway, I feel really, really good. And I like looking in the mirror and, you know, it feels really good. So, and the food, you know, eating more carefully on what it is I'm taking in, after I eat and for hours afterwards, I just feel really, really good. I mean, I really love it. I've given up. Diet Coke was kind of like my crutch for years. And now I drink water and yeah. So there you go.
I will tell you, I do drink coffee, but that is just simply because I'm lazy, you know, because usually I don't drink coffee at night. I did tonight because I needed some caffeine to get my butt in gear for this. But I usually drink tea at night. But in the morning, I'll drink a pot of coffee before I go to work or start working out, whatever the case may be. But outside of that, I gave up pop probably, it's been probably like 5-6 years, something like that. And
wow.
I used to drink Diet Coke like it was going out of style, Diet Pepsi like it was going out of style. And when I stopped, I had the worst caffeine headaches and withdrawals and all of that. But boy, I'll tell you, I don't enjoy it any longer. If I go back, this is something we could talk about either tonight or another time. But now when I go back and have, I don't want to call them cheat foods because I'm not even like cheating, but if I go and have a Diet Coke or a Diet Pepsi or a Pepsi or whatever, I feel so shitty the next day. You know, the headaches, my body aches, it's not an enjoyable experience. And really the same for, you know, like processed foods, because now I eat so clean that anytime I eat anything that's not, you know, terribly healthy, I really feel it the next day. I get the food hangovers and people think that's nuts. I remember years ago, there was a comic and I wish I could remember who it was, but he was making fun of coming to California and going out to a dinner with a friend of his. And his friend had gone, you know, like vegan or vegetarian or something like that. And they went out to a restaurant and then had like soup. And his friend started having, you know, just, you know, getting really, really sick. And he goes, what's wrong? And he goes, oh my God, is this a beef broth? I can't have like a beef product because it just makes. So, you know, he was getting sick because he's having, you know, like a vegetable beef broth with his vegetable soup. And I thought that was the most hysterical thing in the world that people got, you know, would do that. Cause I thought that sounds so California, you know, like, oh my God, you know, those dumb Californians, you know, they drink all the crazy Kool-Aid and that type of stuff. But now that I'm off of all of that type of food, anytime that I deviate and say, okay, I'm going to have a cup of, you know, like real ice cream, or I'm going to have a, you know, cheeseburger and fries, or I'm going to have a piece of pizza or whatever, I have to walk into it knowing that all of the processed carbohydrates and the sugars and all of that is going to have me feeling absolutely horrible for the next day or two. And it typically does. And so it's now not, oh, look at me, I'm eating so clean and I'm eating so healthy. It's like, I just don't want to deal with, you know, the food hangover later on.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's exactly it. When I started working out, because I started working out first before, you know, trying to eat right. But I just, it, for me, because I kind of just go, with things thoroughly. As soon as I started working out, as soon as I went to sit down and eat, I looked at the food and it was like, you know, I just kicked my butt, you know, working out. I am not going to eat crap that's going to undo it. It's like, we're going to just be consistent
right
across the board here. So it's like, I really lost my desire for crappy stuff, you know, in those circumstances. But you're right, because I've slipped on different things. Mine wasn't so much, I haven't really gone back to sodas at all. I've been pretty much ice water and all that. But I did have ice cream the other day, which is not something I usually had anyway. But oh my God, it was like fighting depression and dragging. And I went to the gym and it was, you know, I got through the workout, but it was like painful getting through the workout.
Yeah.
Horrible. And you know, after that, you know, if somebody offered me ice cream right now, I think I'd run. I really do, because it
right,
very little joy in the experience.
Oh goodness. I mean, but you know, it's funny, because from, you know, days, you know, 5, 10, 20 years ago, at least for me, I mean, my you know, my diet was, you know, a large pizza every night, and I would justify eating it because I would put extra vegetables on it and 4 pounds of cheese, you know.
Health food. It's health food now.
Yeah,
I got it.
Crazy.
Yeah. So we got only have a few more minutes left. I've got to ask you like the big gossip question of all time.
Yeah.
You know, because this is, again, under the umbrella of, gee, we haven't talked for a while. What did you think about the Academy Awards? And the whole fiasco there.
I didn't watch it. I didn't. Oh. I don't have TV. I don't watch it. And I was working. So, see, that's the other benefit of working nights. I avoid all social situations for the majority of my life because I'm working. And then when I come home, I'm beat. So I missed the Academy Awards, and I don't even remember what the big brouhaha was. What happened?
Oh my gosh! It was historic. They named the wrong movie as the winner at the end.
Oh my God.
And then they,
that's crazy,
they correct it. And then they had this whole fiasco of everybody was going, they were like, wait, no, we didn't win. You won. And oh my God, you have to watch. You
probably
have to
the
find. Rush. Yeah. You have to find the, like a YouTube clip of it or something. Cause it is classic. And,
they should have Steve Harvey do the Oscars then.
Well, it's funny because I didn't even know Steve Harvey had done something similar, and
that Miss Universe,
that all came
whatever,
up
yeah.
then again, because apparently he had named the wrong winner of some pageant. So, yeah, but no, it was, you know, Moonlight won the Academy Award and was supposed to be the
okay.
winner. And what happened was, I can't believe I'm telling you this. It's like telling you about a presidential assassination. It's like, so Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway are walking on stage, and they handed Warren Beatty the wrong envelope. They handed him the duplicate of the Best Actress winner, which was Emma Stone for La La Land. And so when he got up there, he was confused because he saw Emma Stone on the card he was pulling out. So he was like, sort of, you know, what's her name on it? And Faye Dunaway,
right.
you know, who has no patience apparently, kind of just grabbed the card and went, it's La La Land. And so La La Land's on their way up. The people behind backstage, the two people from the accounting firm, who quite frankly talk about, I mean, we're in the age of incompetence. I mean, these people have nothing to do in the world, nothing to do except manage these envelopes. That's it. Their only purpose for living. And they screwed it up. And so, you know, they kind of trickle out and they start telling the people from La La Land who are giving the speech, you didn't win. So one of the producers of La La Land is at the mic saying to
oh my
people
God.
In the audience who are Moonlight, actually we didn't win. Moonlight, you won. And they're like, huh? And the whole room is like quizzical, and it was just, I mean, it was really classic, but yeah. So that's what you missed.
That is crazy.
It was insane. It was probably the most memorable Oscar moment I've ever had in my entire life. And I'm like, you know, I never miss the Oscars at all any year. I mean, the kids know, It's Oscar weekend. The TV is daddy's. Forget it. You know, it's like,
yeah, it's yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. I think it also helped that I didn't feel so bad about it because I saw zero movies in the theater last year too.
Well, Moonlight's a very, we covered it on Out in Santa Cruz because we tried to see it before the Academy Awards, but then we didn't, we got it afterwards and we're trying to find the sources and we were both watching the movie on all these different devices and both of us very moved by it. The reason we're watching is because it got really nasty reviews online, somewhat racist, somewhat homophobic. And so we wanted to see it and both of us loved it. It's a very quiet film. You have to, and artistic, and you have to really dig into it. It's really, you're digging into the characters. So it's not a, you know, feed you, you know, type film. It's very quiet.
Right.
But, I loved it.
That's typically a best picture.
Yeah. Yep. And it won, albeit sort of in the most unconventional way. So
yeah. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. So we're down to final last words. What else do you have to say for yourself, Mr. Miller?
I would just like, for anybody who is new to the show, number one, thank you for listening. We do have a Facebook page that we only promote the show topics and the show on. We don't promote anything else. We love you, but we don't promote anything else on it. If you want to promote something else, promote it on your own page, but go to Facebook at Rated LGBT Radio, like the page, and you'll get updates when the show's live. Rob, I want to say thank you so much. Honestly, the show could not have continued this past year without Rob saying, okay, I'm going to take the reins and run with this, because I have not been able to do the show at 7 p.m. on a Thursday night for 6 months, 6.5 months, something crazy like that because of work. And I will tell you, I am very grateful that I can now pay rent at the first of the month. So is my landlord. So, you know, there's this double-edged sword about doing the show or paying rent, and I chose to pay rent. So tonight I was off a little bit early, and I've been able to do the show with Rob, and I'm so grateful to spend time with you. This is one of my favorite hours of the week, and you always make this fun, exciting, engaging. We have great guests. You've done an amazing job, so my hat's off to you for keeping Rated LGBT Radio going. The fan base is growing, and everybody should listen to the show every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Pacific time, but then really tune in to Robin Bash on outinsantacruz.com or Out in Santa Cruz, 1080 KSCO in Santa Cruz. If you're at an AM radio, do that.
Right. And this week we actually are playing a best of because I'm going to be at a meeting. I can't say which kind, but I'm taking a chip for my 35 years. We are going to rerun a show that people really need to listen to. It's Beth Grant. She's a classic character actress. She was in Tu Wong Fu. She's in The Mindy Project now. When you see her, you'll go, oh, I love her. She's fantastic. Great interview there. So it's worth catching.
There we go. Yeah. Right on.
And we've got
my shameless shill of the night. Go out and buy my CD, Blonde Jesus, because Papa needs a new pair of shoes. All sales now go towards funding my new album that I would love to record this year. But again, I just need the money to do it. And all of the proceeds go to getting back into the studio. And I've got some really cool people that I'm going to be doing guest appearances with and that type of stuff. I'd love for you to get it. It's had singles that have spent a total of 67 consecutive weeks at number one. It's like 70 non-consecutive, but 67 consecutive weeks at number one, starting with Witch Sisters Halloween, Gay Wedding, Sweat and Testify, Unlike You, and Blonde Jesus. So five singles out of the 11 songs that are on there have gone to number one or even debuted at number one on independent radio. I thank you for your support. And with that, I'm going to wish everybody a great evening. And Rob, as always, thank you for being part of Rated LGBT Radio. I love you. And everybody, don't drive distracted. We will see you next week on the show, assuming I can get off early or Rob does it.
Yes.
So there we go. Rob, anything else? 20 seconds.
Yeah. Nope. We've got a great guest lined up for next week. And Garrett Miller, please be here. We love you. And we miss you.
Try.
Yay.
Okay. Yay. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.